Mr. Reggie ATL coming to you from the lovely city of Atlanta, Georgia, going out to the always beautiful weather city of Los Angeles with Danelle Lewis. Danelle, how's it going?
Going splendid. You know, I'm out here enjoying everything. It's nice, sunny, warm. I mean, it's winter, so it's warm.
Yeah. What are you guys dealing with? 70 there? Is it like 68? What are you guys?
Frigid 76. I don't how do they live?
I'm so glad that you were even able to join us for the show. I appreciate you you taking some time out there.
I didn't know if I could.
I should next time I'll just check on you first and be like, hey, how's the weather out there? And if it's like, you know, 73, we'll schedule for another week or something like that. So there's been some crazy things going on around the world, and somebody, I wasn't really gonna do a show on this particular subject because it's a touchy subject on both sides of the issue, especially what's going on in Israel, with Israel and Palestine right now. And that's been like kind of an ongoing situation for anybody who's even remotely paid attention to that. It's been an ongoing situation, I think, since Israel was established here in 1947. Like, it's been on every since then. Like, it's been issues every since its inception. So we'll kind of talk about that a little bit. I had a coworker who was kind of like, we're going to go to war, and it's going to be this world war. And they're just thinking like the world's already going to come to an end and stuff like that. And those are some of my younger coworkers. Some of these coworkers are like 19 and 20, they just feel like it's over. Like there's no reason to go on. I know you haven't lived under the rock, but not everybody pays attention to this stuff. Have you looked into or seen any of that stuff on the news and stuff? Do you even watch the news, Danelle? Not everybody watches the news like I do. I'm a news junkie. Do you watch the
news? No, I watch. Yeah, I watch the news. I want to be informed on what's going on, even the good, the bad, whatever. But I do know people who will not watch the news. I was like, how? Like, how do you exist? How are you not informed?
Right, it's oblivious to stuff, right? Like, just walking around. I mean, that must be a nice life, though, right? To just not know what's going on ever.
Just
like,
free ball
do you even
life?
Know who our last president was? Like, do you even know what that was like? You
if nobody told him, no, it's weird. It's just, I guess. It's all exposed.
I mean, it's a tragic situation. And you know, even with the Russian and Ukraine situation, because I feel like that kind of ties in, because you have all these factors, right? Not just what's going on with Israel and Palestine. It's not like the Russia-Ukraine situation came to a head, because that's something that started. It's something that's kind of ongoing as well. And then you have North Korea said they're going to be probably testing nukes, like they always say. South Korea said they don't like that. They're going to try to remove the regime if they do. You have all these issues, you know, and China's always constantly like, don't mess with us no matter what. So you have all these issues kind of come to a head. Do you remember a time in our lifetime where there was just so much stuff happening at the same time?
I don't. I mean, maybe because I was younger, I was unaware of all of that. Because, you know, now when you're a kid, you're like out of sight, out of mind, you know. But yeah, now it's just I don't feel like there was a time like we have now. I have nothing to relate it to. So I think that's why I'm just like, this is kind of crazy. Like the last couple of years, the last 5 years has just been
wild, right?
Wild. I'm like, how are they going to tell people about this?
It's interesting because you think about the times in the past, right? So when you think about past times, past wars, past times of conflict, civil rights era here in the United States and things like that. And even other, you go back to these ancient eras where they had like bubonic plague and certain things that have just changed whole cultures and countries and areas. And people lived through them, you know? Mm-hmm. And you wonder like, man, what was that like? But here we are. And we're not living through something like the bubonic plague, but COVID killed millions of people. And you do have what hopefully won't be a world war, but a ton of different ongoing conflicts at the same time. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I feel like this is the closest we've been to like an actual world war situation, only because I don't really want to say that until it actually happens. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's so much with people, everybody having nukes and everything. I think there's like a mutual interest in that not happening. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I would definitely agree. Like, self-preservation is the way the U.S. likes to go. So I just don't see us really going all out for anything. But I also think we have different technology available to us that wasn't around before. Internet, all being able to cut things off. You know, there's different it's a whole other set of circumstances that I just think, even if we did go to full on war, it would just, I don't know if it would be the same as before. I mean, not that I remember it before, but I'm just saying, like, would it be cyber war? I don't think it would be just, you know, boots to the ground, all that kind of stuff, like drones and everything else. Like, we might be shocked to see what the U.S. has in store for people, like what they've been working on in the military and all of that. Because, you know, a lot of the stuff, they don't really disseminate that information to everybody. But I'm like, we might be shocked to find out, like, whoa, y'all have that capability? Oh, you can do that? Like, is that okay? Is this ethical? Like, I feel like that would really, that would be the way that the U.S. would go. And it's a little scary, honestly, to see, just to be on the edge of that, like to be so close to that kind of reality is kind of crazy. Because, you know, thinking as a kid, you never even thought about that. That wasn't
right.
A thing before.
Seems so distant, right?
Yes. And now it's like, it's present. And if you don't watch the news, you don't read these things, you don't, you know, educate yourself on that, you would have no clue and just be shocked. I'm like, oh, what's that? Oh, something dropping on my city? Like, oh, they warned us last week on the news. You didn't hear about it, Bob? Like, that kind of stuff.
So do you think, Danelle, that, because these things can be very nuanced, and actually, no, before I even ask you that, what question I was going to ask you, there are people that I've talked to with the current situation going on that are very passionate on both sides of that issue. Have you had anybody in your life or know anybody like that who's just very passionate either on the Israel side or very passionate on the Palestinian side? There's been both seem to have sympathizers no matter what has happened.
Yeah, I do. And it's kind of a weird place to be, because I understand their feelings on it, as far as, like, you know, these are your people, this is your culture, this is your life. And it's right. It's so deeply affected. But also having the other side of the coin, being like being Israeli, being Palestinian, and they, like, I am not well versed enough to really pick a side on the matter of what's going on with them, because it's their life, it's not mine, you know. But mm-hmm. I also understand, like, there's going to be so many people affected, and like, how do you come to resolution for this kind of thing? Like, there's nothing that's going to appease both sides, because so many people have lost stuff, and when you're hurt people hurt people.
Correct.
So I don't know. It is hard. Like, you want to be apathetic. I want to have a listening ear, but it's like, are they going to force people, like, you know, you got to be with us, or you got to be with them, and that's it? But it's like, it's so complex.
Do you think that there's a tasteful way to discuss these topics without somebody just getting absolutely upset about it? Because I think what sometimes you're just, at least with me, a lot of times when I'm listening to people discuss topics, it's just trying to get a better understanding for their perspective and for their way of viewing it without just looking at the news, you know what I mean? And then coming to my own conclusion, because just looking at the news, I'm still very far from removed. You know, Americans,
yeah,
we've been very privileged to watch wars, because, you know, somebody told me, they were like, oh, I think we're going to war, or they'll know. Somebody told me that's what their parents, mm-hmm. like, everyone's thinking mm-hmm. we're going to mm-hmm. war. And I'm like, you know, we're in America. No. We watch wars here. We
yeah,
don't
exactly.
go to, we don't go to them.
We're very third party, you know?
Exactly. Like, we see it from a distance, and we've had the privilege of being able to see these things from a distance. So when discussing these situations with other people, I try to keep that in mind. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? That I'm just watching it through a screen, no matter where that news source may be. Because I do like to watch varied news sources so I can get mm-hmm. different perspectives. You know, what you're seeing on CNN is not going to be the same thing you see on Al Jazeera, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, you're going to see very different perspectives here. Mm-hmm. So, and I like to watch to see the different perspectives, because it gives you a more nuanced view of things, you mm-hmm. know, and then you can kind of try to have these conversations. Do you think there's a tasteful way to have these conversations without, like, disagreements? Because it's been troubling for some people.
No, because their feelings are always there, and you can't get past that. So I guess I would pose to you, Reggie, is there a way to care for the people and not the cause?
That's interesting, because I think so, right? Like, because the human cost, no matter what, is catastrophic, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Like, the human cost and the cost of having to rebuild infrastructure and stuff like that. And of course, you'd rather buildings be knocked down than than people killed. But mm-hmm. at the same time, it does affect their life and their livelihood and the way they see it. The hope that some of these people have in these countries may be drastically diminished when everything around you is crumbling. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Mm-hmm. For what you feel like your future may be. So I think that you can care for the human cost. What ends up happening is, and I think in this situation especially, you'll have something like Hamas, and then you'll have people identifying Hamas with Palestinian people and kind of lumping them together. You uh-huh. know what I mean? When they're not the same thing. It'd be like a particular group in the United States and that group representing the whole of the United States. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. it's just because it's a group that originated in the United States. It might have mm-hmm. like nationalist type views or whatever kind of views they have. Because, you know, they'll have people who speak for these organizations who come on and speak, and they're giving their perspective for what they think things are. And I think ultimately, if the human cost is always kind of like your North Star, so to speak, if you're always just discussing just what that human cost may be, then you're able to discuss these things a little bit more. I kind of agree with you in a sense that for people who have family in either area, it's going to be harder for them, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's realer to them. To us, it's just a conversation. Yeah. You know what I mean? We can talk about it, then we can go on with our lives. For them, it's realer to them. And if they lost somebody, forget about it, right? Because if you lost somebody, you're not in a mood to really talk mm-hmm. because that's been a major cost that you're going to have to pay. Your family has paid, you paid friends, family, and emotionally that you've paid. Do you, and also with just moving forward in general, like it doesn't seem like there's anything changing on the horizon soon enough. Do you see it that way, or is there anything? Do you see it coming to a quicker solution?
No, I don't. I think it's. Because Hamas, I don't know the resources that Hamas has behind them, and I think that would play a major role in how long this is going to be, and the outcome itself. Who's going to support who, pretty much? And I think because there's other third parties that have vested interests, like this could be a long drawn out thing as to like the level and like severity of it. I don't know. I mean, I would hope it would be minimized as far as like, you know, human cost and the lives that are impacted and involved and all of that. You don't want to see like millions lost, you know? No, nobody wants to see that.
Correct.
But I really couldn't say right now. Like I really couldn't say. It's so unpredictable at the moment. Because everybody's saying a lot of things about what's going on, and you see the TikToks, you see all the videos, like this is what's really happening, or no, this is what's really happening, and then oh no, this was debunked, it wasn't real, there's propaganda, and it's like what are you, whirlwind of information, like how do it just take so much time just to sift through it all and form an opinion off of that? But then it's hard to say, because like I would want it to be short, but I'm like, then again, it's who's gonna win, like who's gonna come out on top? And then you don't know what side to go for, or if there even is a side. I mean, I guess you could say the human side, but that, I feel like that's
on both sides, right? Because that does it. It's like the non-answer answer, right?
Yeah.
When you say stuff like that, and I can think people would say that if you had that perspective, I don't know if it's actually fair, but I understand it. People feel like you're waffling when you say that, mm-hmm. but me personally, that would genuinely be it, because I'm not there.
I haven't lived it. This is not my experience.
I haven't lived it to really be able to give an educated answer on which side is right. Because sometimes it depends on where you come along in a conflict, right? Mm-hmm. If you were to see, and I'm going to give the Russian and Ukraine conflict as an example. If you were to see Ukraine moving tanks and stuff into Russia and seeing what the human cost there is. If you were to just see that now, it's more understandable because, you know, Russian was there first in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. But if you're a person that doesn't really understand that and you only see that and you're not really educated on how the situation started, because some of these situations, whether you're talking about issues around the world or the situation that's happening with Palestine and Israel started so long ago, mm-hmm. that it just depends on where you are caught up at? Like, where did you come along in this, in the whole picture? So if the whole picture is 70 something years, or 60, 50, 60, 70 years, I think the last biggest attack like this was like roughly 50 years ago in Israel. Like, you have, depending on where you come along on that timeline, you might switch the blame or switch your perspective on things, depending on where along on that timeline you come. So I think that you could always care about the people, because as we are in this country, and this is something that when Trump was our president, you know, people looked at us as like a country where Trump was our leader, despite the fact that most human beings in our country did not vote for the guy. But that were like the representative. And if you were looked at it from the outside of the country, you might have lumped all the everybody into that together. And I feel like, you know, in it's very easy to do in our country to look at other countries and kind of just lump them all. Like, you know, well, we'll just lump it all together, but it's not necessarily that easy. A terrorist organization or an organization from a place may not represent what the actual human beings there want. Does that make sense?
Yeah. They don't speak for everyone. I mean, it's that same thing they kind of do for the Black community. You see that one guy saying something is like, "Up, he's the leader of them now." Like, whoa, hold on. We just met yesterday. Like, let's reel it in. But no, I can definitely see and understand that. And I think that's the hard part right now, is like, who everybody's looking for, who's the voice of the Palestinian people, outside of what Hamas is doing. They're like, and then seeing them as separate, seeing them for who they are and what they're going through and what they've been going through. But it goes back to what you're saying. It's like, whose side are you on? Which one do you support? You don't know, because you don't know the retaliation of everything. Like, who's been retaliating against that? We did this because they did that. You did this because they did that. It was like, but that's been going on for so long. Who knows what was the beginning act? Where did this start? It is so muddy. It's like, how do you even begin?
Do you think it's even worth, because you see a lot of people on social media jumping on one side or the other, right? I stand behind X, or I stand behind X, or like whatever side they stand behind. Do you feel, and then maybe some people have to walk it back because they're not really, you know, it was a knee-jerk reaction. They see the attack, they see the pictures and stuff like that. They do a knee-jerk reaction. And even though the intent may have been there, the way that they're going about expressing that is not necessarily in an intelligent fashion, because they're not really hip to everything that's going on. You know what I mean? Or the history, you know, you're just reacting to everybody else's reaction, so to speak. Have you seen any of that online? There've been so many celebrities that have been forced to kind of walk that stuff back.
Yeah, pretty much. Or people forcing them to say something. Well, you're Palestinian, or you're Israeli, so you should be saying something about this. And they're like, they're American all their lives. They're like, what are we going to do? Yes, I support my family living, but it's like, what do you want me to do? Like, I've never been like that person before. So how do you expect me to speak for these people? Have that kind of connection with them. And it's like, everybody wants you to pick a side and stand on it and with the whole chest. And you can't really do that right now, because once again, it's like, not everybody's well versed on what's actually going on. They're only hearing personal statements, personal stories, and things like that. So how can you really be expected to draw a well-rounded conclusion as to how you should believe on something? But then it's also like, if you do say something and you're like, okay, this is what it is, I support these people and all this other stuff, you can't waffle. Because if you go back, they're like, well, you're not really true for the cause, and you're just saying this now, just trying to please everybody. But then again, you can't be neutral either. So damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, that's true. And with this has been charged, supercharged. Like, when you look at other conflicts around the world, let's just take South and North Korea, right? Because that's been a conflict for a while on the Korean Peninsula, and they've been divided for quite some time. So when you look at just that, it's, you either are for the, I wouldn't say dictatorship, but it's kind of like that. I want to look at it and see exactly how that government is structured. But it's definitely a dictator type government structure there. Communist, I think, maybe it is what the official or would be. You're either for that or democracy. And there's such a contrast there. Mm-hmm. Between those two, right? It's a big contrast between North Korea and South Korea. In some of these other areas and some of these other conflicts, they go a little bit deeper. Some of them have like religious undertones and stuff mm-hmm. like that. It goes so much deeper. And when it comes to the Israel and Palestine situation, that's been such a tinderbox for so long. You know what I mean? It's been such a divisive issue for so long. Even before this happened, Danelle, people would get very passionate about one side or the other mm-hmm. When discussing these things. And maybe social media makes it where we all feel like we just have to like contribute to us to a certain degree, right? And say yeah. something, or if we just compliance, if we're just silent, you know, silent compliance, you're just not saying anything. But I don't think there's anything wrong with not talking out of turn about things that you don't know all the way about. Mm-hmm. I've watched a ton of documentaries on these type of stuff because I'm a documentary junkie, but that doesn't mean I live it. You know yeah. what I mean? Like yeah. watching a documentary on something yeah. is not a lived experience. Right. Exactly. It's not like the same. It's not nowhere near the same. I can know certain things because it's an interesting conflict to me. So mm-hmm. it's interesting to look at, but at the same time, I'm never going to lose the fact that I'm not there. You know what yeah. I mean? I'm not yeah. having to deal with the real world consequences of this issue. So me just running out and saying, hey, I support one or the other, I'm just like an idiot.
You can have an awareness, but that's about it. But I feel right? like a lot
like
of...
like a skin, like a very thin layer of awareness. You know what I mean?
And I feel like it, in all of the other conflicts that, well, the most recent conflicts that we've seen, it's been a clear, this is bad and this is good, because you see the Russia, you see the Ukraine stuff. For years, right. you've been heard Russia is bad. You've seen the North Korea stuff, and they're the socialist state and one party, and they're bad. And, we don't go with them. And that's been, it's easier for Americans to get behind that, because that's what the rhetoric has been for so long, versus what's going on with Palestine and for the Palestinians and Israelis. We don't know, because you see the stuff, you've seen the documentaries, you've seen the TikToks, all the kind of stuff on social media that's kind of showed you, like, it's humanized these people. And because of that, it's been harder for us to pick a clear, like, no, this is bad, no, this is good. Because you see the actual, it's hard to separate the people themselves from what their governments or everything else is doing. So when you see that, it's like, well, I see these people as humans, as living their lives, just trying to, you know, make a living, just trying to get by, trying to survive, trying to make sure they got food, water, all kind of take care of their families. And then you see how they're mistreated and disrespected and not supported, or the government's picking one side or the other type stuff. And it's hard to really boost one side without, like, you know, putting down the other side. And I don't know, it's really hard to pick a side for something like that, because, like I said, it goes back to, it's not my lived experience. I'm not well versed in everything that's going on, but I do see these people as people. So it's like, you don't want them to get hurt, die, you know, all anything, all this kind of, live with the trauma, the PTSD, the lost loved ones, all of that. I mean, if you've gone through loss, you know, understand how that is, and grief and pain, and then just wanted to get by and survive in the world that's already hard enough. It's so complicated right now. It's like, it's a weird time to be around and see.
It is. Cause I think that also you just touched on something that's a difference, is the see part. There's so many different ways to see that lived experience now. So before when we read, what are these other wars? I feel like I'm seeing more about the World War IIs and stuff like that now, mm-hmm. that some of the stuff is coming out, and they're doing the footage in color and mm-hmm. all that stuff. So you see much, I feel like we, being so far removed, are actually seeing more of it than some of the people who were living at that time, because there weren't as many mediums to see it.
That's exactly
we can
it.
Now,
yeah.
we can go on like YouTube and see what happened in several wars, right? We can go back yeah. to certain documentaries and a lot of footage that you can go and see now that people from a technological standpoint back in the day just were not able to see. And mm-hmm. in this particular case, with social media, you get to see the real world spirit. We don't have to talk to nobody, right? Like you yeah. can see it. Like they're live streaming from where they are. Like you don't uh-huh. have to like go to a reporter. You don't have to go to a news organization. You can literally go to social media and see some of the atrocities. And I think that the humanity part is the tie that binds, so uh-huh. to speak, because that's the part that's on both sides. There's humanity and catastrophic loss on both sides of the issue. Uh-huh. No matter where you stand, I think that's a horrible situation. Do you think there's any way, because people, it's a very polarizing issue. Is there any way to even bring anybody to the other side of that issue? I've seen several of over the weekend, there's been several of marches and stuff like that that may happen in different cities and states here. And there'll be support on both sides of these things. Do you think there's any way to ever just have that? I want to say like a unifying, because this is not like a kumbaya. I don't want to trivialize it because it's so, once the bloodshed has happened, I'm kind of answering my own question here. Because once the bloodshed has happened, and once you've had it where one, just giving their perspective from what I've seen, one person from Palestine, they were on a news organization, and they were expressing that they feel like they're in the largest open air prison, you know what I mean, is what they called it. They feel like they can't do anything, can't go anywhere, feel like they're oppressed, feel like they're being occupied and stuff like that. And then you have the other side where they'll come on and just feel like, you know, straight up, like they've just been murdering, you know, they want to murder all of us all together, though there's no real prospect of peace at all. What part does the country or the U.S. have to play in any of this? And a lot of times people look at these situations around the world, and I'm going to separate the Russia-Ukraine situation, because I definitely feel like we would rather fight that war with our money than our soldiers. So if we could support and send weapons and fighters to Ukraine, it's definitely better than sending human beings to Ukraine. And the Ukraine situation had shades of of Nazi Germany, because that's what Hitler did back in the day. He took over certain areas. He annexed certain areas, took over certain areas until it couldn't be ignored anymore at a certain point. And I'm not saying that that's what Vladimir Putin would have done, but I think that once it's done once, once you kind of see it being what we did see back when with the Nazi Germany situation, people have a heightened sense of we need to do something about it as soon as you see any kind of scintilla of it. Now, that's very different than what's going on in the Palestine-Israel situation, and especially given that Israel is a friendly country. They are an ally, so to speak, to the United States. And people are like, I don't know why we're sending money. And that's what I've had some coworkers like, you know, it really infuriates me that we're sending money to Israel. And I get both sides. I understand that, because you feel like they may be sending money to Israel, support Israel, and in turn, they're using that support to kill human beings.
On the
other side. And you feel like you kind of have some of that blood on your hands. Understandable perspective from that side of things. And from the other side of things, Danelle, this is kind of the way it works with other countries. When you're allies with other countries and they get into conflicts, you're kind of obligated to come to their aid. That's the point. Like, if you don't come to their aid when there's conflict, there's no point in being allies. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what it entails. Puts the U.S. in a crazy situation. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I would. It does put us in a really crazy situation. But I feel like that's what we factored in when we became allies with them. And that's almost like your country's picking a side for you. And
that's an interesting perspective.
It's hard to go for the other side when that's what you see. It was like, well, my government thinks this is good, so I'm gonna go along with what they think and go from there. And seeing or hearing what's going on to the Palestinians as far as being corralled and cornered and almost squeezed out, I can understand that aspect of it and how frustrating that is, how infuriating and how aggravating that can be, especially someone growing up, you know, in the U.S. and how they've treated their minority groups and everything else.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like, I get it. And especially when it comes to the propaganda of things and wanting to seem like, though, no, we're the good side and we're doing everything right and they're just complaining or, you know, just doing little, you know, being extra or whatever. And it was like, no, there's truth in there.
You're right. There's some substance to that. You know what I mean?
Yes. And it's like, how do you choose a side when both of them are right? And who becomes the mediator? Is that as an ally, is that our role, is to be the mediator and kind of settle things? But I feel like you said before, nothing is ever gonna settle this, because there's been blood loss, lives lost, there's been so much hurt and anger and frustration, so you're never going to appease everyone. So how do you even work that out? Like, what's the beginning of that? I'd hate to be negotiated in this whole process. Like, I quit. I'm done. Right. Somebody else take over.
Mm-mm. It definitely seems like there's no real like right answer there. And I think that's just due to the heavily nuanced situation here. And to some people on one side, they don't think it's nuanced at all. They think it's very clear cut. So that just makes things more complicated. We have two sides of fight. They have a very clear cut perspective. Yeah. And they don't really want to move off that. I definitely appreciate you taking some time out to join us on a little bit of a heavier subject. We'll get back to maybe funner subjects next time. But I appreciate you taking some time here to know.
No, thank you for having me. And this is definitely something that is crazy for the times that we live in. And we'll see how it plays out in the future.
For sure. This is Reg ATL. Check us out. Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. See you next time.